Started in the series, which is in a season of enthronement, and I titled last week to be Destined to Reign. I'm going to talk about, continue from there, Destined to Reign. Let me just give you a quick recap about what's going to be, what we talked about. We mentioned last week that in Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, that the scripture says that we have been made priests and kings unto our God. And the Bible says, and we shall reign on this earth. Say with me, I'm a king, I'm a priest, and I shall reign on earth. On earth. All right, now you see, when I say sit with me, let me tell you this, I've already said it, so I am not need you to say for me. I've already said it, I need you to say it for yourself like you really mean it. Say, I'm a king, I'm a priest, and I shall reign on this earth. Amen. So we don't understand that, and that's what the scripture says, and that's the anchor scripture. In Romans chapter 5, verse 17, I need help with that one. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. The scripture helps us understand one thing which is critical. And we said that, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who received together abundance of what? Grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one Jesus Christ. Now, let's break that scripture down. We did last week, and I'm going to summarize it here. We said there are four parts to that. God, Adam, sin came to this world, but what we are about to enjoy, what we are about to reign, came through Jesus. And the Bible says that he came and he did his part. You know what his part was? He gave us abundance of grace, and he gave us what? Righteousness. Abundance of grace, the Bible says that you may abound in grace. And in Hebrews 4, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, let us come boldly before the throne room of grace, that we may obtain grace and find mercy to help us in time of need. So God has provided grace for us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved unto faith, not of your own works, but the gift of God. So gift is what God has given to us. Second thing that is here is the fact that those who are not here, I'm just going to go through it real quick. You have also been given the gift of righteousness. You never grow in righteousness. You never walk inside righteousness. Righteousness has been bestowed upon you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. It says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When he brought righteousness, he just said, exchange. Give me your sin. I'll give you righteousness. He didn't ask for anything. He just bestowed it upon us. So you are righteous. Say, I have been made righteous. That's the part that Jesus did. Two other parts we have to do. That's the second part of it. It says that you have to find a domain. You see, you have to know where to reign. It says, and you shall reign. That part is not what God does for us. It doesn't help us reign. Jesus came and he did his own and endured the cross. And guess what? He's in heaven right now reigning. Anyone who is able to do their part will definitely what? Reign. If you don't do your part, you're not going to reign. And don't tell me any philosophy or philosophical or whatever it is, theological thing. You don't do your part, you are not going to reign. You know, the funny thing is, even let's talk about earthly thing. Prince William, Prince Harry, they have what they call royal duties. If you don't do your royal duties, that's how you train into being that. You're not going to reign. Just because you're a king to be does not mean you. He was in the army. He did all the royal duties they need to do. May not be the kind of work you and I do, but it's still royal duties. Okay? If you don't do your part, you're not reign. Now, the second part of that is the fact that you have to know that you reign in Christ. Christ does not reign for you. Okay? You reign in Christ. Christ reigns so that we can be a part of it. But you reign in Christ, which means it's in Christ that you have everything. The Bible says in Christ we have a being. In Christ we become. So you reign in Christ. Christ does not reign. Many of us get to a point where we want God to do everything for us. We'll get into that. Amen. So, continuing today, quick summary, I'll try to do that. If you didn't get that, please go to scripture, go to DIC Spring TV and listen to the message. We understand that God wants us to reign, and we do have a domain and a place of authority. See, the world is our domain. If we are kings, we have to have a place of reigning. Now, one other critical part of reigning involves, what is your place of reigning? If the world is your domain, what is your place of reigning? What is the place that you can reign? And one of the challenges we're facing in life is recognizing my place of reign. If we go with the scripture, if we go with what we've talked about, it is true that every believer is destined to reign. But here's, listen to this. No one will grant you access to your throne until you have given the world what he'd never had before you came. Let me say that again. No one will grant you access to your throne until you've given the world something it never had before you came. And you say, but Pastor, we have 7 billion people things. That's exactly my point. There are 7 billion things that can happen in this world because 7 billion people are in this world. 7 billion people have a potential ability to make a difference. Why is it that only a select few make a difference? Why is it that the technology and things that we write on today were done by a selected few? But yet there's 7 billion people. If we want to reign, we have to identify what is that thing we bring into this world that nobody else brings. Because we have to be ready to reign. Let's talk about the goats. Lionel Messi, CR7, LeBron James, Michael Jordan. They're all goats. Please put your mind when in church. What does a goat mean? Greatest of all times. They refer to be greatest of all times. They refer to be goats. Not that one. Right? Goats, the greatest of all time. You see, this people, Muhammad Ali, was called the king of the ring. Why? Because these people dared to find a place to reign. And they can be called the king of the ring or the greatest of all times because they found their domain. What is your domain? They contributed to the world something that was beyond what they met there. They added a positive value to the world. They didn't take much from the world, but they not only took what they had been given, but then they decided to add value to the world. Today, they're being revered. Today, they're being valued. Why? Because they gave something and added more to the world than they met there. This reign did not come because they were average. Those people who choose to be average would never reign. Have you sat down? I was teaching this, I think, on Wednesday, a little bit about this on Wednesday. Have you sat down and asked yourself, what is the price to be paid to be a goat? You don't have to do in the area where other people have done. See, before Messi, before... I mean, I could give you so many names. There was Thierry Henry, there was Ronaldinho, there was Ronaldo, there was Pelé, there was Maradona. There's all these guys that have been always that have been there before. In their time, they were good. But when it was the time of these other ones, we're celebrating it. Just like anyone who's paying the price today will be better tomorrow. There's this thing about this young man I was watching on YouTube. His name is Arat. He's a six-year-old boy, and he reversed Messi, he's like his hero. And his guy's got 6 years, got probably 8 packs. I've got one, that's okay. His father sold everything, and his father taught him how to play soccer. When you see the guy play soccer, I think the rest of the people think they're playing against him, but they're actually just like part of the spectators. Because they can't keep up. One thing he only has to learn is how to pass. Because you can see the rest of his team just following him along. Because hopefully he'll do it alone. What they can do is probably just kind of move the rest of opponents all the way. Because the guy would do it again. You would see him dribble. Starting young. There's going to be a time when he's also going to be, if he continues that way, is going to be a goat. What is that area of your life that you're ready to pay the price for? Because if you're not ready to pay the price for, then why are we calling rain in? Are you a doctor? What is the price you're paying to be a doctor? Are you a doctor? What's the price to be the best doctor there? You know, Stockton sister Sarah was sharing something with me. Actually, she shared the testimony. They brought her into a hospital where things were not going okay. There was a lot of issues. And so she made upon herself that, you know, there's one thing about that. Sometimes you think you have to be on top before you have to reign. Listen, you reign wherever you are. And she saw a lot of problems. And rather than see problems, you know what she saw? She saw opportunity to be a goat. And she saw all the problems there, and she made up her mind. And she went and said, what is the requirement to become a nurse three? Is that nurse three? To become a nurse three. And they said, you have to change systems in the hospital. Okay, not a problem. She began to train systems in the hospital. She began to change things. She began to do things people had not done. And when some things are so bad, people want to run away. She ran towards it. Because when things are bad, you can only go where? When things are bad, you can only go, you bring a great idea, you can only go up. Sometimes it's not that bad to come in, to enter when everybody's last, when the things are not going well. Because when you come in, it can only go up. And because you came in and it goes up, you'll be revered. And so she began to put things together, began to create things, began to put things in place for many, many years, months. And by the time she presented before the board what had already happened, the board had no other choice but to say, though you have been here. And this is what they told her. If you want to get this nurse three, you have to leave the hospital and come back. That's very rare. You have to be, 20 years or something like that before you can get to that level. And she did in a very short time. Why? Pay the price of your greatness. There's one thing. Remember I said that Jesus has done his part. We have to do our part. There's one thing God will never do. He will never pay the price of greatness for us. Let's stop kidding ourselves as believers and thinking that God is his responsibility to pay the price. No, he will not. He has given you grace. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. He has given you abundance where you can come boldly before the throne of grace. He has given you, righteousness where you should not be afraid. Now your father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. What more do we want from our Father? Say to your neighbor, why aren't you reigning? Don't be afraid of them. You're provoking them to the next level. Why aren't you reigning? And I'm not talking about a local champion. By the grace of God, DIC Spring will be known in places we have not even seen. Because as I speak this, I challenge myself, and God is challenging me. I was sharing with the ministers the other day, and God is challenging me to say, what else can we do? Sat down with a few people, and when I have a staff meeting in a church, and we discuss it, my first question is, what else can we give, and what else can we do to the members? How else can we make an impact and bless the members? It may not be what everyone wants to do, but we have to. You see, in order to make a difference, you have to be different. In order to make a difference in life, you have to be different. The world already has too much of the same. Dare to get out of a pack. Dare it. David needed to reign. He got out of a pack. When I think about reigning, I think about David. My goodness, David, God bless you. You need to read the 1 Samuel chapter 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and read the story of David, and you understand that it was unusual for a little boy to do what. When they gave him the stuff of Saul, it was too big for him. He married Saul's daughter, so you can understand how much younger David was. And by the way, he married his second one. Saul was going to give you the first one. He married the second one, Michael. But he, at his very young age, was a goat. And he said, Saul has killed his thousands. David has killed his 10,000s. David paid the price of greatness. He paid the price to reign. Saul multiple times tried to kill him in the same place. Saul became, you know why Saul gave Michal to David? Saul told David to marry Michal. David said, I'm just a poor man. I cannot marry the king's daughter. Saul said, no, I don't need anything. I only need 100 foreskins of Philistines, because he wanted, he says, I want you to be valiant, which is be my strong person, so that he can put David out there and so that the Philistines can kill David. He wanted 100. David went out, he brought 200. He wanted 100 to marry. He brought 200. I mean, paying the price is not easy, but it's possible. When you're given assignment and we're going to promote you, if you can do this one, do you do what is needed or do you do more than what is needed? Saul had no other choice but to present Michal. When they say, I want 100, he bring 200. He's an overdoer. ITK. You see, Jonathan loved David like his soul. Jonathan was a son. You know, Saul almost kicked Jonathan out because of the love that Jonathan had for David. It was kindred spirit. Your success becomes obvious when your contributions improve the world. Your success becomes obvious when your contribution improves the world. Some people think we've got to be given a platform, you got to be given a place. But let me ask you a question. And I don't want to put anyone in any place, anything at all. Let me ask you a very good question. Today, in the little you're given, how good are you in that? I was watching a documentary about making butter. I like good butter. Good butter. And there's a company in France that makes good butter. Now, everyone makes butter and makes the butter through machines. This company, for over 100 years, has been making it by hand. The guy takes pride in making it by hand. You know, there's certain things that when someone becomes so good at it, that they don't have any machine to test. To know. The guy has a feel. The guy is just rolling butter. He adds the salt. He knows when to add water. Just a feel for it. There's no recipe book. There's nothing there. I mean, you can't even fire the guy because he's the quality evaluator of your butter. But here's one thing. In your world, you're like, butter. In his world, he's a goat. You don't have to have the platform as big as anything, like a president. What are you doing with that little they have given you? What are you doing with, you know, if you're in the choir, what are you doing with that song? You see, I'm going off here, man. Your gifting will never grow until you use it. Nothing that has been given to you will ever grow until you use it. Anything that is not used will depart from your life. Anything that's consistently used will increase in your life. If you have been told, play the guitar. You don't have to be good today, but you've got to see yourself. I want to be the best guitarist that's ever held up. At your place of work, they gave you the job thinking, this is your worth. Is that the way? Has somebody else evaluated who you are or your worth? Have you given your worth, your throne, to somebody else? Or are you reigning in that place of your domain? Back to scripture, Cola. Success will not come to those who wish for it. Never fold your hands, because you have received a prophecy and that you will succeed, and then you decide to fold your arms. See, a prophecy is not really, it's not a path to success. A prophecy is really a call to action. A prophecy is a call to action. God's promises never exempt you from doing the work. Let me say again. Except for what he has already done in salvation and in righteousness. But God's promises never exempt you from doing the work. Jesus said in John chapter 9 verse 4, says, I must work the work of him that sent me while it's still day. And you know, Jesus will have the ability to come to this world and just close all of our eyes and say, all of you be blind for the next, you know what, let there be 3 years past right now and all of you are saved. He could have done it in a twinkle of an eye and saved everybody and then go back to heaven. But he did the work. And that work was not easy. We celebrate Jesus today because he went through the process to become the greatest of all time, the only wise God. What is the price for greatness in your life? You know, as we think about this in John chapter 9 verse 4, Jesus said, then I must do the work of him that sent me. You know, when we sang the song, when I call your name, when we sang the song right now, and since the name of Jesus is a powerful name, it is not an ordinary name, it's a name that's full of power and grace. Now, many of us use the name of Jesus as, because we're believers, we use the name of Jesus as a crutch. The name of Jesus is not a crutch. You know what I mean by crutch? Is a name you want to lean on. It's a name that it's, you know, to crutch from the place crutches where you just lean on it. Where you think that because you have the name of Jesus that everything will just work out because you have it. You see, because I have something and if I don't know how to use it, the name of Jesus is more powerful name of a believer that has given life today. But who knows what the name is than those who have been with God for a long time and do not know what the name is. When I say we need to use the name of Jesus as a crutch, we pray for God to do everything and leave nothing to ourselves. We wait for God to manifest miracles on every single day of our lives. But we do not take out the name of Jesus to the place where it needs to happen. I'll give you a story. There's this man who was this preacher who fell into the water ocean and could not swim. And then a boat came and the captain yelled, do you need some help? Sir, the preacher said, no, God will save me. A little later, another boat came and said, a fisherman came and said, hey, do you need help? The preacher replied, no, God will save me. Eventually, the preacher drowned and died and went to heaven. And the preacher asked God, he says, God, why did you not save me? God said, man, what are you talking about? I sent you two boats. Two boats. You refuse to take the boats. You see, we have, pardon my language here, we've been so religious that we forgot how to be relational with God. We looked at religion as the carriage to get you to where you're going, but that's not what God's plan is. He came to show us the way. Jesus endured the cross. He went out from cities to cities to carry the message to people. He didn't say, in my name, God created all of you receive salvation. He carried the message. So we use the name of Jesus as a crutch. The name of Jesus, yeah, don't worry, I've prayed about it and that's it, I prayed about it. What are you doing about it? In the book of James chapter 2, the scripture says, faith without works is dead. In other words, you can kill your faith if you don't have works. I didn't say that scripture. The Bible says it. You don't have works to do, you kill the faith real fast. Your belief is not enough. If we are going to reign, we got to believe and we got to what? Do. There's a lady that wanted the neighbors to know that she loves God so much. And she came out and said, and every day she'll say, God, I thank you for what you've done in my life. I thank you because you're real. And having an atheist neighbor, the atheist will come around and say, there is no God. I keep telling you, you're just blabbing out. So she was having a difficulty one day. And she didn't have food to eat. And she came out and said, Lord God Almighty, I know you're there and you provide for me. I'm hungry. And Lord God, bless me. And the atheist heard that one. And so the atheist went in and bought food and put it by the door and hid behind the bushes. So next morning, the man just came and said, Lord, I thank you because you always hear me. And the atheist jumped out. See, I told you. There is no God. I did it. And the woman said, God, I thank you that not only did you bless me, you even made the devil pay for my food. When we go on in life, we cannot just use the name of the Lord as a crutch. We need to learn our part of doing our part. And that's why God gave us the free will. If everything that works in this world is the name of the Lord, then everyone would, don't get me wrong. I want to be very careful with this. I'm not saying the name of God is not everything, right? I'm saying that the name of the Lord is potent. Here's the thing. When I say the name of the Lord is powerful, it's like if you use a bomb in your house, you yourself will explode. But if you point a bomb in the direction where you want a change, it's much more effective that way. Are you with me? If I have a gun and I'm having a gun in my eyes and I'm holding a gun with me, I'm holding a gun. But if I need to break through the door and I have a gun, the Bible says the name of the Lord is what? Powerful. We cheapen it when we think it's about everything that we can do, but refuse to do it. You don't say, name of the Lord, brush my teeth. You don't say, name of the Lord, eat my food. We don't have to get so religious. We need to take the word of God for what it is. In other words, let the name of the Lord be powerful out there where you can make a difference in the world and begin to reign. But don't put the name of the Lord in it. Don't hide. The Bible says you don't light up a candle and put it under the bushel. Let's go out and say, I walk in the name of Jesus. You know, Peter said, he was going outside. They had the power of God. But they walked in and said, silver and gold I have none. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The name of the Lord being put to action. What if they did not go there? Jesus said, the scripture says, in the Bible says, do not pray for your brother and say, you know, they come to you and say, I'm hungry. And one say, don't worry, it will be well. Go back home and it will be well. You are tainting the gospel. It says, if you have ability to help, help them. Don't just use the word, you know, in the name of Jesus, it's all going to be well. And then you go back home. They're still hungry. The name of Jesus did not fix that because God expects us to do that. Now, let me be very clear. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, including the name. But we have to use that name in the most, it's a powerful name. Don't make it trivial. When we use the name in a place where we need to reign, the name will take you farther. How many times do you get to work and say, God, I'm at work today. And in the name of Jesus, I see myself doing this. I would excel. I'll do this one. Or do you just, and that's true. When you get to work, you think this is physical and you leave the name of the Lord at home. Or do you take it with you? Use God's. God has given you grace, strength to become everything you can be. Be a partner with God in everything. That's how we become successful. Somebody say amen. So, I'll go on. To enjoy success that leads you to your throne, it would be best if we defined it in light of the enthronement. In other words, if I want something that I know where I'm supposed to reign, then define what success is in light of the enthronement. Don't believe without behaving. Let me say that again. Don't believe without behaving. You are not helping God or negating faith when you do your part of a promise. You're not, you know, some people say, you know, I don't want to help God. He doesn't need your help. Okay? Faith without works is dead. We talked about in James chapter 2, verse 14 to 26. And like I said, don't believe without behaving. Let me say that again. Don't believe without what? Behaving. or without an action. Give life to faith by your works. It is useless to have faith without any works. I'll say it again. It is useless to have faith without any works. It is catastrophic. It's impossible to have work where there's no faith, which is this, it yields nothing. But the part of it's useless to have faith without works. You can't just be praying and praying and praying and not get up. Look, we pray in church. We pray every day. I'm not removing the air of prayer. I'm not removing the air of the name of Jesus. And I hope you guys are getting the message. And you're not. I'm not taking it away. I'm saying, too much and too long, the Christians have put it all within the Christianese community. God did not call us to become Christianese. It's not a culture. It's not a town. It's not a country. We're supposed to be a light out there to the rest of the world. And if we don't do, they don't understand the Christianese. No. Hey, how are we going to do that thing? Jesus will help us. Like, what are you talking? How are we going to do that one? You know, and it's okay. You know, the other day I was talking with my co-worker, and we're talking, and I said, you know, here's my thing I'll tell you. Go out in the morning and do something. Go out in the evening and do something. So you never know which one's going to take, whether this one or that one or both of them. That's scriptural, just in case you didn't know. So in the morning, so in the evening, because you never know which one's going to take, whether this or that or both alike. The guy looked at me and goes, man, I just like it that we can talk about God. I said, yeah, that's okay. We can talk about God. But we still have to do what we need to do. I said, we take the God to us to where we need to do what we need to do, and we excel in that place. You can make a difference in life with God's backing, but in the place where God will be celebrated. And he's taking and expecting you and I to take God to the world so that he can be celebrated in the world. Jesus did the same thing. We cannot hide it within ourselves. We pray within ourselves, but we don't go. He says, go out into the world and preach the gospel. You know what they were waiting for? They were waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when they came around, they couldn't contain them anymore. You have been baptized. You have been given the freedom. You've been given the grace. Then let's go out there and what? Reign. Let me be clear. I'm not relegating the spiritual things. That's the first thing and the core of any believer. And so after that, what else? The Bible says when you were a baby, you drank milk. So, but when you're now supposed to be eating solid food, what are you now doing? Keep going on. Having a small enough faith to do something produces more result than a lot of faith without doing anything. Say one more time. I don't have written down. This was God gave me this morning or yesterday. Having a small enough faith to do something is better than having so much faith and doing nothing. Let me ask you a question. There were four frogs on a leaf in a pond. And four of them decided to jump in. No, three of them decided to jump into the water. How many frogs are left on the pond? It's a simple question. Answer. Four. I repeat the question. There were four frogs on a pond, on a leaf, right, in a pond. Three of them decided to jump inside the water. How many frogs are left on the pond, on the leaf? One, zero. There were four. Three of them decided to jump into the water. How many are left on the leaf? One, four, zero, four. So what I said to us before we have chaos, those are at home. One plus one seems very difficult for all of us here. So here's the thing about it. I said there were four frogs on the leaf in the pond. I said three of them decided to jump, but they never did. A decision does not mean enthronement. Your ability to decide, I'm going to do it, one day I'll become the king, does not get you become the king. Watch me. I will build a house for my mama. Watch me. But you're not living where you are. It's like taking the name of the Lord in vain. Because God has endowed and empowered you to become better and bigger than you are. But we're saying, watch me. And the world is like, okay. And Romans chapter 19 says, we're waiting for the revealing of the sons of God, which means we have all it takes to become everything in this world. We are kings and priests, and we shall reign on this earth, is what the scripture says. Why are we not reigning? Because we are deciding to reign. We're on the decision level. When are we going to take the step? When are we going to take the step boldly in God? In God. Let us come boldly. When are we going to step out of the comfort zone in God? Because if David did not step out of his comfort zone, he would still be a shepherd boy. So much of a shepherd boy, they had to wait for him to come before he could be anointed. But David took the step out of a shepherd place. When everyone's afraid, he took a step. And like I said, he went with God, but he had to do the reigning. He went with God. How many dreams are in your minds today? How many people had a dream when they were younger? What did you plan to become at this age? Are you there now? It's not because you don't know God. Are you there today? It was your dream where you are today. If you're not there today, then my question is why? And I don't mean it in a bad way. I only mean it's time for us to what? Take action. Believing without behaving results to nothing. It's time for us to take action. Do something. Just do something. Here's the thing that happens to many of us. What if we're wrong? But I went with God. It's okay. It's okay to be wrong. And you see, one of the things I'll talk about is success is riding on the failures. Because you're not really failing. What you're doing is you're learning. Listen, if you are not failing, you are not learning. Let me say that again. If you're not failing, you are not learning. Whoever started something and got it the right time, the first time. If you're not failing, you are not learning. Say to your neighbor, if you're not failing, you're not learning. So do something. We cannot keep containing this glorious name, this glorious power that God has put inside of us and keep it indeed inside of us. We have better and more things. Imagine if the world does not know God and they're reading to become better, how much more you who has the name of the Lord that's powerful than any other name, who has the name and backing of God. If you do half of what they do, how much more can you go further? If you're not failing, you are not reigning. You're not learning. You're not learning. When we first started this thing, this online thing, this COVID thing came around, immediately the technical team had to look for ways to respond. They had to look for ways to respond. And they were, I used to tell them, man, God bless them. They said, Pastor, this is what we need. I bought it. It didn't work. Pastor, this is what we need. I bought it. It didn't work. Pastor, and I'm here thinking, we just bought all those things, but that's okay. I'm here thinking, I know you can do it. In my mind, I'm thinking, geez, what do you need now? But I'm like, I know you can do it. And they said, Pastor, we need to try it. And then and the body will say, Pastor, let's try this for 10 days. And if not, I'll say, if we need to buy it, let's go ahead and buy it. Because let's get it done, right? But in my mind, I'm thinking, better be done. Better be done. Today, they're having a great sound. I mean, except for if internet works, a great sound. Yesterday, they were here 6:30 in the morning. 6:30. What were you doing at 6:30 in the morning? 6:30, and we ask you, come, and we say, listen, God has put something inside of you, be a part of it, and then you're like, oh, God, I love my sleep. If we're not doing, You can't reign. You see, it's a person that game. They 6:30 in the morning, they run things. You know, they were telling this morning, they said they got to a point, they were very frustrated. And one of them said, I don't think we even started praying before we started this program, this project. And all of a sudden, they had an idea. All of a sudden, they had an idea. And they went faster because of an idea. You see, if they did not do, they would never have seen success. And so we look at success as when you have got to the end. Sometimes, listen, success is when you start from now and you build upon it. Hallelujah. Your actions prove your faith. Amen. So faith helps you believe enough to do something. Let me say that again. Faith helps you believe enough to do something. When you get this, you remain successful. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, this book of the law would not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, and you shall observe to do according to what's inside. When you believe enough, you will do. If you believe enough, you will do. The problem about us not doing is because we don't believe enough sometimes. When you believe enough, there's nobody who believes that they will be successful and sit down at home. You can't believe enough that success is yours and sit down at home. Let's wait for it to come. Let's wait. Tomorrow, we'll be here tomorrow. It will be here tomorrow. When you believe it enough, you will step out. You see, let me tell you about believing. When you believe in something enough, nobody will tell you to do it. You have such passion in you that, no, I know. People will say it cannot happen. You say, no, it will. Because I know. I know whom I have believed. For he is able to make it happen. That's how to use the name of Jesus in your area. I know whom I believe, for he's able. Faithful is he that calleth, for he shall surely do it. Over and over in the scripture, Abraham was called. He had to leave to show his faith. He said, yeah, God, I'll go tomorrow. He didn't do that. The Bible says Abraham was called a friend of God because of the way he showed faith. He believed God. And it was accounted to him for what? As what? Righteousness. He believed enough to move. And God said, he's righteous. In the book, James chapter 2, when you read all the way through, it says, faith without works is dead. And it's talking about Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute, but Rahab did something because of faith. And God called Rahab a faith. Well, her name was written in the Bible as a woman of faith. Enough of calling God in the closet. Is anyone with me this morning? Enough of calling God in the closet. You don't have to be perfect. Rahab was not perfect, but she was, her name was in Hebrews chapter 11, in the hall of fame of faith. But we cry God too much and our name is not even there. Why? Because we don't do. Faith without works is dead. I hope I can inspire you that you are not just where you are and call the name of God. You have to do something. God needs to show himself in something. He's already shown himself in your life. So he wants to show himself in something you do. Man, I'm fighting with myself this morning. He's got to show himself in something you do. If you do nothing, you have given him no platform to show himself. We shall go on. So, I'm going to take one more thing here. My time is gone. Let's finish here. We're going to talk about how we define success in lieu of this. Now, I want to lay this as a foundation so we understand this, that when you start hearing me talk about success, you can understand what I mean in light of a scripture, not just success for what we're talking about. You know, I was talking about this. I got to tell you this one. So one guy, his name is Joe, he finds himself in serious trouble. His business has gone down. He's in serious financial trouble, and he's desperate. He's very desperate, so he decides to ask God for help. So he says to God, God, he begins to pray, God, please help me. I've lost my business and I don't know what to do. I'm going to lose my house. Please let me win the lotto. The lotto comes that night. Somebody else wins it. Then he prays again and says, God, you said I should call to you anytime I'm in trouble. I'm calling you right now. I'm about to lose my family. My wife will leave me. Let me win the lotto. And so the second night comes around. He didn't win the lotto. And so that night he says, God, lama sabachthani, why hast thou forsaken me? So I've lost my business now. I've lost my house. My car, my wife has left. And my wife and children are starving. He said, I don't often ask you to help me. And I've always been a very good servant to you. Please, just let me win the lotto this one time. And I can get my life back to order. And suddenly, there was a light. Came and the heavens opened. And Job saw God. And Joe heard a voice, and the voice says, Joe, meet me halfway, buy a ticket. So meet me halfway, buy a ticket. You can't just be talking, and not doing. Now, I'm not saying you all just go buy lotto just because you want to win something. But God at some point answered and said, boy, man, if you don't play, if you don't buy the ticket, you can't win the lotto. They can't just come in and give you, my goodness, you'll get it when you get home. That's okay. So meet me halfway. Buy the ticket. You know, when we read the testament today and we talk about permit, if they did not apply, you can't get approval. What's the worst you can hear? A no. You have better odds than Las Vegas. Because it's either no or yes. But when you now have your application in and you put prayer, and that's where the name of the Lord is powerful. You've done yours and you put prayer, then what they said cannot happen. God, in his own infinite mercy, will break the barriers and give you an answer in a short time, because God with you is bigger than anything else. But do something. Many of you are starting business. Someone said to me, "Say, come man, I run a lot. I run a lot. I run 6 miles a day." So, oh, really? It's not showing. Yeah, in my mind. You know, a lot of people think that because you think about it, it gets done. There's a law. I forget the law. And the law is such a way that if you can do something now and you don't do it, you're reducing your chance and opportunity to do it. Many of you have so many businesses, it just has not become, you have so many businesses called ideas. It just has not become a reality. One young man was talking about business ideas, and he said, you know, I've got this, I've got that one. And he was talking to his mentor. His mentor said, you know, that's great. And I said, you know, I'll tell you, want you to do something. He said, and he was telling his mentor about how much this business was. And the guy says, oh, great. So he said, I want you to do something. I want you to go to the graveyard tonight. I guess, why? So just go to graveyard tonight. He said, because you will see a lot of people that had ideas. But they're silent. Said, anyone with an idea that does not do anything, how are you better than the one that cannot do it? I'm going to leave this pulpit.